Managing remote workers when you have a virtual team can be a very tricky thing to do, especially when you don't have a system. So I'm going to share with you the system that we use here at Formula Done and the incredibly bad things that can happen when you don't follow the system. Let's check it out.
Welcome to the Content Toolbox Podcast, intended to equip and encourage experienced business owners and aspiring entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Jen Neal, entrepreneur, coach, active business owner, tech lover and nerd, and founder of the Content Activation Method. Now, enough of this. Let's get to the good stuff.
All right. So on this episode, I want to share with you the processes that I have adopted from learning from different people and the methodology that we follow when I'm actually managing my entire remote team. I recently fell out of practice of using this and hired some new people, and it did not go very well. We're kind of still cleaning up from it. So I'm going to share all of that with you along with the system that we are actually using right now for a new employee that we are onboarding currently. So let's go check that out. First, though, if you are new here, I am Jen Neal. I am the founder of Formula Done and also the creator of the Content Activation System. And what we do is help businesses get seen online, get more traffic, get more leads using content that you've already created. We have tons of tips. And if any of those things sound interesting, make sure you check out some of our other videos online. And I know that I've produced a lot of really amazing information that is a lot of fun. So anything you want to go check out, go learn up. So let's dive into today's content. Managing remote teams. Sometimes I have the most amazing systems and processes, and then when it comes time to use them, I just completely space it. It goes right out my brain, and I don't follow them. Okay, now I'm going to say that I may be the only one that does this, but if anybody else is out there that does this, let me know in the comments below. But what happens is we end up with a really big mess. This is something that I recently caused in my business, so I'm going to share all that with you. So the very first thing that I start with is the organization chart. So this actually means you're going to map this out and say, this is me, and here's how everybody reports to me, and then here's how everybody reports to other people, and it just kind of continues going that way. The org chart is an organic document. I like to build it in Google Slides because I can change things, move around. It's always the same link, stays updated. And inside of each of the little bubbles, that bubble actually links to the 4R job description. And so it stands for role and responsibilities. So they know exactly what their role is, who they report to, what the responsibilities are for their job, and the results or the expected outcomes that measure that this has been a job well done. And then we also have the requirements, those talents and skills that they have to have before they can start working with us. That gets me into kind of some of the next steps of what we do. We have a daily team meeting, and on that team call, everybody comes together. It only really needs to be 10, 12 minutes. So we talk about wins, we talk about conflicts or questions, we talk about obstacles and things that might be getting in the way. Normally, you can kind of fire through those really quick because if your system is running well, most people shouldn't have any questions. But recently, I have actually started making our team calls last a little bit longer. And that's because I found that one of the other nice things to do is to really get personal and share. So I like to incorporate more time into the calls so that we can deep dive into a problem. If somebody has a question, we get on, we solve it together so that everybody on the team can see my problem solving process, somebody else's problem solving process, so that may help in the future. We also talk about things like, what did you do this weekend? Or have you watched any cool movies? You know, we dive into some kind of fun. And the reason that this is so, so imperative is it creates that bond because we are not working together. We're not in a physical office. We are meeting virtually on Zoom, and that can get very impersonal. For me, I'm like, all right, guys, here's where we're at. Here's our sales numbers. Here's how many leads we have on our system. Here's how well our social media posts are doing or how not well they're doing. I have this thing coming up. Like I have an interview coming up. I'm not prepped for it. I'm a little nervous about this. I'm a little nervous that we haven't had the best email open rate. What ideas do you guys have that we can increase that? And it's not just me that brings up these questions and ideas. I'm encouraging everybody in our team to say, all right, I have a question about this. Or, ooh, I read this thing, I watched this class, whatever, that brought up something cool I think maybe we should be doing. So it's a time for ideas. It's a time to get personal. It's a time to be truly transparent and just really authentic. I mean, most of my calls with my team, a lot of times I am fresh out of the shower. I don't even have my hair done. Definitely no makeup. My team is totally getting to know the real me. So that is how we handle our team meetings. And to go back to the 4-hour job descriptions and the org chart, as a new employee is coming on, what is really, really important, and this is another place that I totally fell down, is to make sure that you are reviewing that job description with the person whose job description it is, right? So with a new employee, I want to meet with them 15, 30 minutes every single day for the first month because I really want to establish that channel of open communication. So tell me what 3 things you are planning on working on today. Where's your focus? How are you feeling about your job responsibilities? Is anything coming up in the course of your day that is causing frustration or confusion? Things that you have questions about? Let's talk about some wins. What are some things that you figured out yesterday? What do you feel really good about? Do you have any ideas or suggestions? What I really want to establish is that we have this open 2-way communication, and it is totally okay for anyone to ask me a question or for me to empower them to go directly to whoever they report to, or if they have a question about this, they know who to go to, so that we're really establishing that need to work together even when we are staying separate. After they've been with you for about a month, then I transfer that out where I'm doing a one-on-one like a couple times a week, and then like once a week, a couple times a week for the second month, and then like once a week for the third month. By that time, they should be pretty comfortable with your business, all of your processes. They should be sort of ongoing. Now, here's another place that I have fallen down is continuing those one-on-ones with each employee every single month. So even just once a month. So you're still having that meeting connection and you're reviewing the job description. What else are you doing? Are you taking on that we need to add onto this job description? It also gives you a really good rate, measure, I guess, for do I need to give this person a raise? When they first came on, here's the things they were doing. Now here's all the things that they're doing. It also gives both of you a really good measure for, okay, this is all your job description that both of us have agreed on, but you're only getting half of these things done. What's stopping you? Is it too much to put in the job description? Is there something causing you problems? Is there something slowing you down? I know for our video editor, for instance, one of the things that was slowing her down was not having a great internet connection because it took so long to transfer video files, right? So we don't want that. So instead, what I said, oh, okay, let's identify, here's a problem that's getting in your way. This is a problem that's easily solved. So now I just upgraded her internet service and that helped. So I like to be able to have those open communication channels to allow for adjustments, tweaks, both to the job, the responsibilities. As they learn new things, we can put it in with tasks. As they have other ideas, then you're really, really relying on the power of the smartness of the people that you hire. Because I would rather have a team of a whole bunch of people that are smarter than me so that I can just be like, I'm not sure how to solve that. Can you go do it? And away they go. So it creates a sense of empowerment as well in team management. So let's see, meetings are one-on-ones, communication tools. So just like working with customers, setting expectations and allowing for open communication, super, super important, right? I know it sounds like, oh yeah, no problem. But during the rest of the day, when we're not actually meeting together, how are we going to continue to communicate? So we have channels when we're talking about ongoing client projects. We have channels when we're talking about like the launch of our new course. We have channels when we're talking about our own marketing, or when it's just general questions or whatever, you know, people know where to put their questions and as that's going. So all day long, we can all communicate with each other through Slack. And if people are in different time zones, then they can catch up and join back in at another time. So that's one way that we keep constant communication going. when we're talking about working on client files. We are making sure that we have our internal communication to talk about what it is that we're doing for Joe and Susie and how are we working on their stuff. Have we run into problems? Do we need to have somebody reach out and talk with them? So we have a project management area. We're using ClickUp. And I did actually do an episode on that one as well, the ClickUp versus Trello episode, if you want to check that one out. And we use ClickUp to manage everything that's going on with customer tasks. Now, we also have put ourselves in. So Formula Done is actually in our ClickUp system as an actual client. It's the only way I get things done. But it's important to have communication that's related specifically to the tasks at hand. And so we actually separate if it's relating directly to a task, that's where it goes. If it's relating to a question in general or just like, hey, can you help me find this or whatever, that stuff goes in Slack. So we have very clear channels of where we're communicating and then how we are communicating internally as well as externally to our customers. Okay, whew. There's a lot there, right? So we've talked about having a job description, your org chart. We've talked about having a daily meeting, having the one-on-ones. I really also love having complete transparency. I talked about transparency and authenticity. Authenticity in like, I'm actually going to share my own concerns, my goals, things that I want to do. But in terms of transparency also, here's how many leads we have. Here's how well this did or didn't do, right? So I like to be able to share both of those things because it's not a perfect world and things are not going to go right all the time. And I want everybody to know that that's okay. And that if something doesn't go right for them, that it's okay for them to tell me, oh yeah, this didn't go right. And here's what I did to address it. Here's how I'm trying to fix that in the future. Those are my requirements. I also give my team a 15-minute rule that if you have a question, try to solve it yourself. And if you get stuck on something, you have been trying to solve it, you have gone through the motions, and you have spent more than 15 minutes trying to find a solution, give up, post for help in ClickUp or in Slack and say, here's where I'm at. Like, I'm stuck. I need somebody's help. So we are trying to minimize the, I need help. This guy is falling kind of problems, but also not have somebody spend all day trying to solve a problem that somebody else probably could in a matter of 5 minutes. So allowing for that transparency, that authenticity, all that stuff to come through, we have those open channels of communication. It fosters engagement and nurturing like that, even within your own team. And I do also have in here tracking productivity. I know so many customers that are like, oh, I have a remote team and I make them check in on this and tell me what these tasks are. And they're trying to micromanage and delegate the entire process. When you're not working in an office together, it's difficult and also a pain in the butt to try to micromanage, not a way that you should be running your business, in my opinion. But I think what's more important is, you know what, these are the results that I'm after and here's the timeline. So they know what they're after. And if they're not getting stuff done, then it doesn't really matter how much they worked or how much they didn't work. The results are what should speak for themselves. So we're just focusing on the results and not on the necessarily how you got there, because the how you got there, they could end up teaching me something that makes the whole process way even better, right? For some things that it is my process, it is like when we're doing customer stuff with content activation, I have a very clear process and that is the process that they follow, but I don't pay attention to how long it takes them to do each individual step. So I hope that some of that stuff really helps. These are all super, super important things. So I'm going to share with you what happened recently when I did not pay attention to these things and we had a fail, right? But first, I just want to know if there are any other tips or things that you do, or if you've had a fail of your own, right? But if you manage a remote team, I'd love to hear if there's any other suggestions or things that you do. Go ahead and share them in the comments below here. I think that'll be something that this is something people can go back to over and over again to kind of keep picking up more info. So share what you got. All right, so let's talk about what happens when you don't follow these. So I'm going to rewind here and give you just a little story. So what's it been now? It's been almost somewhere around 6 to 9 months ago that I was like, I am absolutely drowning in my own way. And this is when I was deciding to make the shift back into agency work to do done-for-you content activation. So I had said, I'm not doing an agency at all, right? Spent a couple years, we worked on our course. Turns out what we do is entirely too complicated to try to teach people. So we went back to the done-for-you model. And so now I'm kind of re-speeding up the agency. Because of that, I was heavily mired in the day-to-day activities. And the good thing is that I do use a time tracker for myself. I also use it for all of my staff as well. So I actually was tracking my time. How much time am I spending doing sales calls? How much time am I spending cleaning my emails out, sending our emails, maintaining our social media channel? Any of those things that should be done, which, by the way, if you go look at our social media channel, you can tell what I'm talking about because there was like a 4-month hiatus that nothing happened. Yeah, those kinds of things happen. Anyway, I had been tracking my time, and so I knew that some of the biggest time suck was happening for me was in trying to get things booked and managing emails and just the day-to-day communication stuff that happened. So I knew that I needed my next hire to be a VA, somebody that could step in and help me with managing all those pieces. So I found somebody and I brought her on, and here's mistake number one. I did not give her a job document. I did not update my org chart. So she came on and I'm like, oh yeah, you're already a VA. You're just working part-time for me. Just do your VA things, right? So right away, I did not give her, here's your job. Here's how you know you're doing a good job. And did not meet with her to talk about questions, concerns, things that had come up. And so what happened is we ended up having to connect because something would start to blow up, right? And so she'd be like, I really have questions about this. So she was initiating the meetings, which was just really not great. The fact that I had not, as a leader, stepped in to say, this is what I'm expecting of you, right? I didn't do that right from the start. So nobody can do a good job if I'm not saying, here's how I expect you to do a good job. So you've got things that you're kind of adjusting, right? That your staff is having to pick up and figure out as you go. That process can be much, much, much more shortened. It probably took me about 5 to 6 months to really get her to a place where she was super effective versus a normal onboarding. After the end of month one, you should be pretty close. By the end of month two, you're like, oh yeah, we're fine tuning here. So when you start into month three, you should know 100% if this person is or is not a really good fit for your organization. And what I ended up doing was really extending that time, which cost me a lot of money because I was paying for somebody to sort of learn on their own without providing any guidance. So that was bad. I did not do a job description. I did not meet with her daily. Then fast forward to about 3 months ago, somebody else that I had been working with and got involved in our methodology of content activation. And so she just really wanted to learn anything. So I jumped in and I taught her. And I know I've talked about this a little bit, but sneak preview teaser is we're supposed to be coming out with an agency in a box kind of model, giving you our sales page and here's how we onboard people and here's our project management system and all of that. So I've been training this person in my methodology. And at one point I was like, you know what? As I mentioned, my 4-month social break, I have not been doing any social media posting. I should probably just hire you to do that for me. You know, she already had a business where she was doing some of that already for other people as a VA. So I'm like, you know what you're doing. You're good. I'm just going to hire you in your process. So then I brought her on. I'm like, oh, can you also post for these customers? Oh, can you also post for these customers? Not only did I not give her a job description, I didn't meet with her. She also was trying to decipher all of the information that we're doing from all these different episodes and what gets posted where. And I left to go play in Mexico for 3 weeks. So she had no way to get in touch with me, talk with me, anything like that. So what ended up happening is, one, we were much, much less effective and productive than it should have been, especially for somebody who knows how to do this, does it as a business. And also, since I dropped her right into the middle of some client stuff and I had not brought her through our processes. What ended up happening is we didn't have client stuff done correctly or on time or things like that. We kind of had to stop, sort of restart over. And so it's just costing a lot of time and money. And what happened is I caused her a lot of frustration, late nights, super grief, and I don't want to be that boss ever. It's just not fair. It's not a fair thing to ask of your staff. It's just on me to make sure that we're following this system that I know works, right? So now we are actually onboarding a new employee right now, and I am completely sticking to this model. Very first thing I did when we first met, the very first time, here is the job description. Here's how this is organized. Here's our file systems. Here's how this is organized. I'm going to meet with you every single day. We're going to like bring this on slowly and cover questions together. And this process, I guarantee you, will be a lot more smooth, a lot less wasted time, a lot less frustration. And I'm going to have a very highly effective remote team. I really have to stick to the process that I put in place. So I hope that some of this has been helpful. Just giving you some examples of how I'm supposed to do things, supposed to, and according to how I set it up myself, and what happens when I don't stick to my plan and how things can go really off the rails. So if this is helpful at all, or you have any thoughts or ideas, please do share them in the comments below. Make sure you check out some of our other videos. And if you're looking for any extra help, make sure you visit our social media channels at Formula Done on Facebook and Instagram. You can send us a message and I'd be happy to connect with you and see if there's any other way that I can help you as it comes down to how to use your content online to actually get more leads and traffic without having to create new content all over and over again. So, anyway, I hope that all helps you guys, and I will see you next week as we dive into some other amazing online marketing content. We're gonna get into some meat of things coming up here soon. See you then.